Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
It's the defense's turn to present its case in former President Donald Trump's impeachment trial. We'll look at what his lawyers may say today. Plus, we're unraveling the mystery behind what you pay for health care, what new data tells us about the costs.
For the same procedure in the same hospital, depending on your insurance plan, the price can vary really as much as fivefold.
And why some day traders think cannabis stocks may help grow their investments. It's Friday, February 12th. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. Lawyers representing former President Donald Trump will present their side today. As we talked about last night on the show, Democrats wrapped up their case saying Trump knew his words could incite violence and that rioters believed they were acting at his direction. His legal team is expected to use only one of their two allotted days to present arguments. Here's congressional reporter Lindsay Wise.
The defense team has already made the argument earlier this week that the entire proceeding is unconstitutional. So we expect that to come up again. There are a handful of Republican senators who said that they're hoping that the lawyers will address some of the questions raised by the Democrats over the past few days, including this issue of whether Trump is responsible for inciting the riot at the Capitol on January 6th.
Depending on how things play out, the Senate vote on whether to convict or acquit the former president could come as early as this weekend. We'll have more on tonight's podcast. Also in Washington, President Biden warned that China is making advancements in transportation that could give it an advantage over the U.S. This as he made a pitch for Congress to pass an economic recovery package that included funding for infrastructure improvements. As we reported yesterday, the president had his first call with China's president, Xi Jinping, since taking office.
I know him well. We spent a lot of time together over the years I was vice president. We don't get moving. They're going to eat our lunch. They have a major, major new initiatives on rail, and they already have rail that goes 225 miles an hour with ease. They're working very hard to do what I think we're going to have to do.
The White House said the president is planning to meet today with U.S. governors and mayors to discuss infrastructure and his economic recovery plan. Disney's streaming service, Disney Plus, added more than 21 million new subscribers in the first quarter and now has almost 95 million total subscribers. That growth helped them eke out a small profit for the quarter despite problems resulting from the pandemic. The division that includes the company's theme park business took a $2.6 billion hit. And the president of the Tokyo Olympic Organizing Committee has resigned less than 6 months before the games are scheduled to start. As we reported, former Prime Minister Yoshiro Mori was under pressure to step down over comments implying women talk too much in meetings. He said he had regrets over the remarks and that he had no intention of neglecting women. A quick reminder, today most markets in Asia are closed to mark the Lunar New Year. Let's talk about the day traders behind the recent meteoric rise of GameStop. They now have a new focus, cannabis stocks. We're going to bring Journal Markets columnist Rochelle Teplinski into the conversation. She joins me from London. Hi, Rochelle. Good morning.
Morning, Mark.
So, Rochelle, what's behind the intrigue behind cannabis stocks at this particular moment in time? Because there's often interest in them.
There is indeed. People seem to be betting overall that the new administration might decriminalize cannabis a bit further. And then this week, Reddit's Wall Street Bets forum started talking a lot about three NASDAQ-listed Canadian pot stocks, Sundial Growers, Tilray, and Aphria. The mentions of these companies really went through the roof at the beginning of this week, and by Wednesday, between Wednesday and Thursday morning, the three were the most mentioned stock tickers on the forum.
Let's talk about that further. I'm curious about market reaction. Are the stocks seeing some noteworthy movement?
They certainly are. It's been a really wild ride. It's been up on Wednesday by as much as 79% and down on Thursday by as much as half. So the Reddit mentions really are making a difference. But even before that happened, at the start of this month, all three stocks had really ticked up since November's elections. They had more than doubled.
Rochelle Teplinski talking about cannabis stocks. Thanks, Rochelle.
Take care, Mark. Have a good weekend.
Just ahead, a look at what's behind the stark price differences for the same medical procedures. We'll discuss after the break.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
As a consumer, you expect to see prices for the same items cost a little bit more or less depending on where you buy them. But in healthcare, costs can be a bit of a mystery. Under a Trump administration rule that took effect in January, most hospitals are required to start making their prices public. And this new data is revealing some wide discrepancies in what patients pay even for the same procedure performed in the same facility. Let's bring in the journal's Anna Matthews. She's part of a team who's been reporting this story. She joins me from Southern California. Anna, good morning.
Good morning.
So, Anna, you've been looking at this data. What can you tell us about the price differences you found in the healthcare system and why we're seeing them?
In the procedures we looked at, which was not all of them, but in the procedures we looked at, which were inpatient procedures, we did see a variety of prices displayed, and that was pretty consistent. The exact order of who was getting what rate did vary, but there were some general patterns, which I think you will see across hospitals as more of this data comes out, which is that plans that are offered under Medicare or Medicaid, sort of under government programs, tended to have the lowest rates. And that is because those rates tend to be tied to the rates that the government sets for itself, essentially. Those are government-mandated rates. The rates for the commercial plans, which they are plans that cover employers and individual consumers who buy their own coverage, tended to be quite a bit higher than those government-backed plans. And then the highest we saw were, again, out-of-network rates, meaning the rates that charged if you go to a hospital that's not in your insurer's network.
Let's delve into the specifics. Can you give an example of a particular procedure and just how big the price spread was depending on who the insurance provider was?
We looked at a number of different procedures at different hospitals owned by Sutter Health, which is a Northern California system that did reveal very full data. And one of them was a C-section at Sutter Health's California Pacific Medical Center, Van Ness location in San Francisco. The price being charged to insurance plans varied from $6,241 to as high as $60,584. The rate depended on what type of plan was paying, largely. That bottom rate was for a local plan that is really a Medicaid plan. So it was paying a rate that is set by the state of California for Medicaid. That upper number was what Sutter would be charging for a person who's going to that hospital out of network, meaning they have insurance, but the hospital is not in their insurer's network.
Anna, what do the insurance providers say about this disclosure rule and the price ranges that are shown in the data?
Providers hospitals fought very hard for this rule not to go into effect. They sued to block it, in fact, but they lost, so it is moving forward. We did, of course, speak to Sutter extensively about much of it was by email, about the prices that we found, asking for explanations. And they said that the range of prices we see is evidence of a robust and competitive market in healthcare and insurance that they negotiate, and that's how it should be, and that they do their best to come up with prices that make sense for patients. Generally, though, the industry objected and fought against having to reveal these prices at all.
So what are the takeaways here, both for consumers like you and me and for the overall healthcare sector?
I think one of the takeaways here is something that I think most consumers don't know, which is that for the same procedure in the same hospital, depending on your insurance plan, the price can vary really as much as fivefold. It can be a huge, huge variety of prices, and I'm not sure people realize that. What economists say is that does raise questions about the effect on healthcare costs overall in the United States, and whether those costs are being driven higher by prices that really don't have necessarily much relationship to the actual cost of the service involved.
Tell me more about that. How do these price variations show up for consumers?
So the prices that are being revealed here can affect your out-of-pocket in that your deductible or if you have coinsurance, which means you pay a share of the cost of a procedure. If that procedure is costing your insurer more, your portion is also going to go up. But a major impact of these prices is that they affect premiums, because premiums really are tied to the expected cost of the procedures that the insurance will cover. So as prices for healthcare go up, premiums for health insurance go up as well.
Anna Matthews, appreciate the conversation. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And finally, it will be Valentine's Day this Sunday. But in the age of the pandemic, romance is getting reinvented. Many of the nation's restaurants and movie theaters remain closed. While some people can still go out for dinner, depending on where they live, for many couples, it will mean staying close to home. But that's not stopping folks from getting dressed up or having a fancy menu. One woman told us she'll wear a red sequin dress with slippers for her home-cooked meal. We found one couple that's planning a takeout scavenger hunt. They'll pick up their favorite items, such as tacos and ramen noodles, and sit on the same couch where they normally eat. There's a business side to this, too. Valentine's Day spending is expected to decrease 20% this year to $21.8 billion, a record drop, according to the National Retail Federation. And that's what's news for Friday. We're back tonight with a new show. Until then, we'll be following the impeachment trial on WSJ.com and the Journal app. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal. Enjoy your weekend, and thanks for listening.